I love writing. I also love reading other people's written words. But life is full. If you are someone who wants to read with your ears so you can do life while you listen, these episodes are for you. Welcome to Erin Reads, an audio version of the Spark and Stitch blog. Considering a first device, try this framework. Read by the author, me, Erin Walsh. There are moments when I look at my phone and I think, what a time to be alive. The device in my hand is 1,000 times faster than the last generation's supercomputers. Our lives benefit from this tiny device's power to connect, to inform, to make life easier and more efficient. There are other moments when I long to slow down all that computing power, when I just want to let all the batteries die. I want to take my kids to the forest and stay there. I know I am not the only parent who vacillates between these two extremes. Our ambivalence combined with fuzzy data can make decisions about our kids' first devices fraught and exhausting. There are as many strong opinions right now about kids and phones as there are kids and parents. In terms of the actual numbers, device ownership has, quote, aged down since the pandemic. That means that currently about half of American 11-year-olds have a smartphone. By 12, nearly three-quarters of kids have them. At the same time, there are renewed calls to delay smartphone use until high school. Despite strong opinions on all sides and hot takes on social media, there is not hidden research somewhere that pinpoints exactly when to introduce personal devices to our kids. On one hand, a device may allow kids opportunities for much-needed independence. On the other, fully connected smartphones open portals to online spaces, distractions, and content that many children struggle to manage. When it comes to the question, at what age should I get my kid a phone, most experts are reluctant to pinpoint a specific age. That's because each young person, each family system, we all have our own unique needs, strengths, vulnerabilities, reasons. There are plenty of 13-year-olds who do fine with their phones. There are plenty of 17-year-olds who really struggle. We do have some correlational data showing that young adults who got cell phones earlier in their lives reported worse mental health outcomes than those who got them when they were older. This study in particular has made it into a lot of news headlines touting definitive evidence to delay. Yet this data, and many, many studies like it, didn't actually tell us whether early phone ownership drove the outcomes or whether an additional variable drove the association. The reality is that we don't have to wait for definitive causal proof that early device ownership leads to mental health issues to decide to delay smartphone use. There are plenty of compelling reasons to avoid handing a fully loaded smartphone to tweens and saying good luck out there. We know that design features created for adults are often at odds with the developmental needs and sensitivities of young adolescents. This is especially true when phones are a portal to social media platforms. At the same time, we shouldn't rely on overstated science to cast judgment or deliver rigid prescriptions that make some parents feel less than. Our kids, our contexts, and our trade-offs are all different. So whether or not kids have watches, smartphones, or no personal device at all, there is nothing magical about chronological age that guarantees safety, responsibility, and thriving. This is especially true if young people haven't had mentorship and coaching that they need to be successful. And while younger adolescents do need more oversight and boundaries, most young people benefit from what we call a gradual release towards independence and agency, like training wheels on a bike. So if you are contemplating a device, let's consider options beyond a fully loaded supercomputer or like a pine cone in the forest where we live forever. Let's turn towards our own families and weigh questions like, what is the purpose of the device? For example, is it to call your caregivers? Is it to act like a landline at home? Is it to text with friends? The second question, Has this need persisted over time? Meaning, is it like a passing desire? Is it a request to be like everyone else? Or is this a persistent and agreed upon need within the family? Question number three, what is the least technologically sophisticated way to meet this need? We can think in terms of specific features and move away from the sort of all or nothing, full smartphone or nothing at all when it comes to personal devices. We can think about, do we need emergency calling? Do we need texting just to approved contacts or texting to everyone? What about games, maps, music, photos, apps, internet, and other? What's the least sophisticated way that I could meet my child's need? Another question. Does my kid have the skills they need to be successful with this device? What will we need to practice together in order to be successful with this device? Does this device have any features or apps that intersect with my specific kid's vulnerabilities and ways that would set them up to struggle? So we need to ask questions like, have our kids demonstrated that they can actually keep track of items, that they're able to talk through challenges, that they respond okay to boundaries and limits? Is my kid willing to co-create media agreements? This is really important. When we start with new devices, there's this window of opportunity to be a little more formal, to set out our rules and expectations, and to agree on how are we going to use this device to have fun, to stay connected, and to stay safe and healthy. This framework, these kinds of questions, what's the purpose? Has the need persisted over time? What's the least technologically sophisticated way to meet this need, knowing we can always add more tech as our kids grow? Do they have the skills they need to be successful with this device? And are they willing to co-create media agreements? Exploring these questions helps us move away from the idea that allowing any amount of technology is somehow failing as a parent. It also helps us slow down and think twice before delivering way more technology than is healthy or needed. Using this framework, one parent may decide to delay personal tech altogether for now. Another parent might not. One parent might talk with their kids' closest friends and create other ways for them to stay connected using family devices. Another parent might decide that a simple watch or a basic dumb phone is just enough tech to meet their kids' growing need for independence. As our kids grow, their needs will change too. It could be that expanding access to a group text or to one approved app helps meet their need for social connection without unleashing the entire world of social media upon them all at once. The reality is that new devices don't just change our kids' lives. They change our lives too. Each of these choices invites new conversations, new parenting skills, and new mindsets. But no matter what choice you make, your kids will rely on your modeling, on your guidance, and on your willingness to engage them in these kinds of questions as their digital worlds expand. I think we can all agree on that. Thank you for listening to Connected and Courageous, the art and science of showing up for kids in the digital age, a podcast brought to you by the Spark and Stitch Institute. This podcast is hosted by me, Erin Walsh. Many thanks to our series producer, Beth Gibbs of Lyft Podcasting. Music is Still Going Instrumental by John Worthy Music. Warm reminder that the Connected and Courageous podcast does not constitute medical advice and is not a substitute for professional mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. For notes, resources, and ways to deepen your engagement with Spark and Stitch, visit sparkandstitchinstitute.com. Be sure to subscribe in order to stay up to date with all of the latest offerings. Again, thank you so much for listening. Stay connected, stay courageous. Hey, everybody, you know that at Spark and Stitch, we are not into screen time shame or judgment. We are into supportive frameworks and affirming strategies. So if you found this episode to be helpful in terms of providing guideposts for how to make choices about first devices, first phones, then you are going to want to get your hands on the Spark and Stitch First Device Guide. We have brought everything that you have heard in this episode into an easy to use guide to help you make the best choices for your family and your kids. Go ahead to the show notes and find the guide and start using it today. I hope it helps. Thanks, everybody. You got this.